We'll look at a few things tonight. Seven mysteries revealed through Paul. Seven mysteries revealed through Paul. And we know Paul's an apostle of the Gentiles. He's a give us our solid church age doctrine. And these are important things to understand. And we'll go into a little bit later about what happens when these mysteries are not understood. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer before we get into the study. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Ask that you guide the service tonight, Lord, that we would have a better understanding of these mysteries and the importance of them. And Lord, that you would bless the next several weeks if you allow us to meet here and going over these mysteries. And we thank you again for your mercy and grace. Bless the folks we're praying for salvation. They get saved before it's eternally too late. And bless the folks that are not feeling well tonight. Those couldn't be here. And Lord, bless Lori and help her with her tooth situation, Lord, that her dental work would continue to go well and she'd heal up well from the work done today. And give Alyssa, Lucas, and Creed good travels as they travel to North Carolina over the next few days, Lord, that you'd bless them and bring them back safe. And just continue to bless our church and church family. Help, heal, and strengthen. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, these seven mysteries, I kind of held off on doing this kind of stuff because my writing is pretty bad, but y'all, Matt could read it from way back here, so I guess it wasn't horrible. But I want to list these seven mysteries. And the first one, I'm not going to talk in depth about any of them tonight. We're going to go over the seven. But this is the mystery of godliness. Or mystery of God incarnate. That'll upset the Jehovah's Witnesses right there, won't it? Because Jesus Christ is God. And that's this mystery, and it's in 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." So that's Jesus Christ. We're talking about God manifest in the flesh. That's God incarnate. That's a mystery. How in the world could God, the creator of Genesis 1:1, come to this earth and walk as a man? He did it. It's mysterious, though. It was a mystery, and it's something that was revealed to Paul. They didn't know that was going to happen in the Old Testament. They didn't know Jesus Christ. They didn't know he was going to come and pay the sin debt of the world. They didn't understand this stuff. But the mystery of God incarnate, or the mystery of godliness. And then we see the mystery of the indwelling Christ. And that's in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. And we'll look at that real quick. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So this is something that was revealed at this point to Paul. This is not something anybody else knew. It's a mystery revealed to Paul as the indwelling Christ. When you realizing Christ died for your sins and you call on him and ask him to forgive you and save you, he moves in. Right? Now that's a mystery. That's a mysterious thing, how Christ could live in you. Isn't that something? I mean, the God of this universe, first of all, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and he came in the flesh. And it's just funny because I just pulled a letter out of the mailbox from the Jehovah's Witnesses telling us they cared about their neighbors and They wanted them to come join their church. Well, their church lies to people. Jesus Christ is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. He's not a way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. And if he's not God, you can't get to heaven. Acts 20:28 says God shed his blood to purchase the church. Amen. So we've got the mystery of the incarnate, God incarnate, the indwelling Christ, and in the mystery of, in Ephesians, we'll look at that, Ephesians chapter 5, you can go ahead and turn there if you want, Christ and the church. I told you my writing's not that great, but you'll figure it out, I think. Or his bride. That's Ephesians 5, 32, I believe. 5:32. And let's see, we'll turn there real quick. Ephesians 5:32. Do you have a Bible? Do you want a regular one? Hold on 1 second. Let me grab you one. Tell you what, go ahead and use one of them. I want to have ask Scott to write some verses in front of this from Gateway Baptist Center. Anyway, if you would. I'll give you some verses. So Christ, the mystery of Christ and the church of the bride, we'll read this verse real quick. We'll go through some verses, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10:9, 10:13, and then a couple more. 3:23, 6:23, 10:9, and 10:13. So Christ and the church, Ephesians chapter number 5, this is a chapter where he talks about the husband and wife. And this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible after salvation, because everything God does is based on family values and family set up the way he set it up. Male and female and the hierarchy, if you will. I hate to say the word hierarchy, but he set things up in order. There's an order. Christ and his word, then the husband and the wife and then the kids. And today the husband wants to be the wife wants to be the husband, the kid wants to be God. You know, it just gets all messed up. But the truth is, we have to follow God's plan if it's going to turn out God's way. So we're reading through this in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's talking about the wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So if a wife submits herself to her husband, she's submitting herself as she's doing it to the Lord. She's doing it for Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. He should be worthy of being submitted to as the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So there's a qualifier there. It doesn't say the man can just run all over the woman and treat her like dirt, and she's supposed to be, you know, good with that and still go with everything he says. If he's not lining up with the Bible, she don't have any right to have any responsibility to follow him. Right? Now, she can be respectful and do what's right, and the Lord will work it out, but he sets this thing up, and he goes down through here talking about Christ loving the church the way, or the man loving the bride, his bride, his wife, the way Christ loved the church. And we get in here, verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So all these things he's talking about, the husband and wife, he's comparing Christ and the church. And if you'll remember, we're not going to get too far into this because we're going to go over that in another week. But so Christ and the church, that was a mystery. That's not something somebody in the Old Testament looked at. One of the Old Testament prophets said, oh, Christ and the church is coming and it's going to be like a husband and wife. Nobody looked at that. It was a mystery, but there's also types of it in the Old Testament. Where's the first type of it? In Genesis. Adam and Eve. What did Eve do? It says the man was not in the transgression, but the woman was in the transgression. Eve sinned against God, and Adam died for his bride. What did the church do? The church has sinned against God, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam, died for his bride. So there's typology there. So of these seven mysteries, we've got the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, the mystery of Christ in the church, and then I don't remember which order I put them in, so I'm going to look here. Mystery of, oh, praise the Lord for this one. Mystery of the rapture. If that happened right now, it would not break my heart for 1 second. 1 Corinthians 15. Another one, Scott. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yeah. For that. And Ephesians 2:8-9. So, the mystery of the rapture. In 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 15:51-52. In verse 51 it says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And it goes on down through there. But there's a mystery, and the mystery is the catching away, or the rapture. We call it the rapture. Means the same thing, but the mystery of the rapture. So obviously, if Paul says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery," in 1 Corinthians 15, and that's the rapture, right? In Matthew, where Jesus Christ is talking about something in Matthew, and they keep saying that's the mid-tribulation rapture, how could he be talking about the rapture when Paul didn't reveal it to him until after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? The rapture wasn't even revealed yet. He wasn't talking about a mid-tribulation rapture. We're getting out of here before the tribulation. And praise God, let them start building that temple and killing them red heifers over there. I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. Old Brother Jim preached that message far better. It'd be far better if we get out of here. But the mystery of the rapture, nobody knew about it until God gave it to Paul, and Paul revealed it to the church. And then we have the mystery of, we could call it the blindness of Israel or the restoration of Israel. I'm going to go with restoration of Israel. Restoration of Israel. And that's Romans 11, I think it's 25. 11:25. As you can see, my writing gets worse the further I go down here. So in Romans 11:25, can you read all that stuff? Okay. It's kind of like hieroglyphics when I write. So in Romans 11:25, the Bible says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And then we'll go ahead and go to verse 26. "And so all Israel shall," future tense, this is the church age Paul talking to, "shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Shall, future tense. So Paul wrote this in the church age, early church age, about the Jews being restored and their Messiah coming out of Zion to turn away their ungodliness. So that's future tense. And the reason I'm saying that is because people like to play games with the Bible and say, well, he was talking about Israel in the Old Testament, and there is no real Jew anymore. We're spiritual Jews and all that crazy stuff. Well, if we're spiritual Jews, or if anybody's a spiritual Jew and there is no Jew, answer me two questions. Why are there still Jews? There's no other people that have been around since the beginning of time. Why are the prophecies being fulfilled? Why did they end up back in their land after a couple thousand years in 1948? And they're still Jews in their right land. Why did that happen? And if somebody has replaced the Jews, which is wicked to even think that, you have to throw about two-thirds of your Bible away to believe that, why did he write Romans chapter 11? Because Romans chapter 11 talks over and over and over again about the church being grafted in as a wild vine, Israel being grafted back in, and God turning back to Israel, the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. Well, if the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, he turned back to Israel, obviously there's still an Israel that God's dealing with. Also, if they say there is no Israel now, that means God lied. You remember what he did in the Old Testament? He gave Abraham an everlasting covenant. You know how long everlasting is? It lasts forever, amen? So then God lied if there's no Israel. So no, he gave it spiritual Israel, which is the church. That's not true. It's not true. Matter of fact, we've got a seven-year tribulation we're going to look at. That's a time of Jacob's trouble. It was a time for Daniel's people. That's after the church age. Why would there be a time for Jacob's trouble if God was through his Israel? Jacob is Israel, right? We're not going to get too much further into that tonight, but we see the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, the mystery of Christ in the church, the mystery of the rapture, praise God, the mystery of restoration of Israel, praise God, and the reason the United States is still in existence is because we've been good to Israel. And not as good as we should have. We've been waxing and waning and really bad the last several years, but God blessed this place because of Israel. And mystery number six is mystery Babylon. Now, we've been talking about that quite a bit anyway. Revelation 17:5. We'll look at that. Revelation 17:5, mystery Babylon. Now, we go through these over the next few weeks. We won't have to spend very much time on this one because we've been talking about it. Mystery here in Revelation 17:5, it says, "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." So that Mystery Babylon is talking about a mysterious religious system of Babylonian religion. And we know, I'll just give you a quiz here. I won't say who it is. You don't even have to answer. But this great whore that it's talking about, that's drunk with the blood of the saints, that has ruled over the kings of the world, that is a city that sits on seven mountains. That's not the United States. Because some people in the new now in this day, they say, well, the mystery Babylon's the United States. The United States isn't a city. It's a city that sits on seven mountains. It's a woman. It's referred to as a woman. And we know that this particular entity is called, they call themselves Holy Mother Church. And this woman has a cup in her hand. And this particular Babylonian religious system that is still in existence today is represented by a woman with a cup in her hand and all kinds of other pagan stuff. But there's a mystery Babylon. But you know, it was a mystery, but God revealed it. He just revealed it in chapter 17. You go down through here and you can see all these things. You guys know who I'm talking about. City on seven mountains. I mean, we can go down the road. I mean, if you took you over 20 minutes to guess that, I'd say you probably need to reread that 17 a couple times and pray about it. But it's pretty easy to figure out who it is. And then the last mystery we'll talk about for just a few minutes here is, oh man, this is going to, the mystery of iniquity. Or the Antichrist. And let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2. And we want, I'm going to go with 7 through 9. 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 through 9. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when and then shall that wicked," capital W, that's the Antichrist, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." So the mystery of the Antichrist, he's revealing it right here. People didn't understand that in the Old Testament. What was going on? Now, you got to understand what I'm saying is the spirit of Antichrist has been alive and well and working in this world for thousands of years. But we're talking about a literal man that will be executed and rose again that third day, mimicking Jesus Christ. And what will happen is he'll come along first as the man of sin. Then he'll be executed and he'll raise after 3.5 days or 3 days or so, halfway through that period. He'll raise up about 3 days. And then he'll be the son of perdition. And it's an interesting thing. Anybody else remember who the son of perdition is? Judas Iscariot. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus Christ, we talked about this before, when Jesus Christ was sitting with his disciples, he said, "One of you will betray me." And he said, "Who is it?" He says, "Who, my hand, the sop?" S-O-P. He hands it to Judas, son of perdition. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, God wrote that book. Think about it. I was reading that one day, it hit me like a train. There's S-O-P right there, son of perdition. And he hands it to Judas. And that spirit, that man of sin is going to be executed. And according to the Bible, according to Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, you can put this together in Zechariah in different places, and he has a bad eye and a bad arm. And he comes back up, and he's got a bad eye and a bad arm. He's a full-blown Antichrist, because what happens in he's three parts, just like God, mimicking God. You got the man of sin, you got the devil, and you got the son of perdition. Perdition's damnation. So you got these three parts of the Antichrist. And that's when he sits on the throne and declares himself as God. 3.5 weeks, three and a half years through the tribulation time. That's when the great tribulation starts. That's the abomination of desolation. So we've got these mysteries: the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, the mystery of Christ in the church, the mystery of the rapture, the mystery of the restoration of Israel, the mystery of Babylon, which is a religious system, we know who that is, the mystery of iniquity, or the mystery of the Antichrist. He's revealing that stuff in Revelation 7, or in 2 Thessalonians, and also in Revelation, talking about the Antichrist through the chapters 5 through 19 or so of Revelation, 5 through 18. But these mysteries are important. You could almost say these are Baptist distinctives. You know, we believed all this stuff. I talk about our line of beliefs. We believed this stuff before 325, when the Catholic Church was collected together. We believed that before that. Do you know that most of the Reformers believed at least four or five of those? And all of them believed this and this. They believe the Antichrist, and they believe Babylon, the mystery of Babylon, who it was. Matter of fact, the Reformers, if you look at the King James Bible, it's got a dedicatory page in it. It talks about the man of sin in a dedicatory page. And it talks about who he is. Nobody had a doubt. But now we've got this ecumenical thing going on, and people are starting to have doubts because they're all following the Antichrist. I mean, if you don't believe these seven mysteries, you got a problem somewhere. I mean, God incarnate, if you don't believe that God came in this earth and shed his blood for your sins, then you've got a messed up religion. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ indwells the believer, you've got a messed up religion. If you don't believe what Christ talks about him in the church, that his church is his bride, he's coming back for it in the rapture, you've got a messed up religion. If you don't believe that there's going to be a restoration of Israel and God's going to do it, you've got a messed up religion. You don't believe in mystery Babylon, this system of Babylonian worship that's been brought along century after century after century and still here today, you got a messed up religion. And if you don't believe the Antichrist is going to rule and reign here for a while, you got a messed up religion. But Jesus Christ is also going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years after he whoops the beast, the false prophet, and Satan. So he's going to take care of that mess. But here's something that's real important. You know, we've talked a lot about this world and why it's such a mess. And we talked a lot about the United States of America and how it got to be such a mess. And I've said it before, you know, it belongs on the shoulders of the churches, because the churches have dropped the ball. I'll show you something. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4:1-2. All right, now 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, "Let a man so account of us," this is Paul talking, "as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we use that verse, and most of the time when you look at that verse, you think about finances, stewardship, because that's the way our brains work. We think about being good stewards. We talk about the environment. I've said it from the pulpit 100 times. I'm not opposed to being a good steward of what God's given us, but we're not going to break a religion out of saving the whales. Amen. You don't throw your oil jugs in the ocean, okay? You can tell the liberals I said that. Don't throw your oil jugs in the ocean. And, you know, don't just leave everything you own running just to run it because gas is too high. But I told you before, we know that God's going to burn this place up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because he's going to dissolve this place. And you're not going to do it. I mean, you can let off every nuclear warhead and start every engine you've got and throw your plastic wherever you want and burn trash, burn tires, burn roofing or whatever. You're not going to destroy this place. How do I know? Because I have a Bible that says God does. He destroyed. I'm not telling you to do all that stuff. I'm just saying you can't do it and destroy this place. We're not as big and powerful as we think we are. But this here is talking about being a steward of the mysteries of God. So when we look at the world, and when we look at the United States of America, and we look at church in the Laodicean church age, how did the Laodicean church age get to where, how did we get to the Laodicean church age where everything's all messed up, the great falling away? Because preachers are not stewards, good stewards of the mysteries of God. These mysteries of God. Right? So a good steward of the mysteries of God would tell you that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. A good steward of the mysteries of God will tell you that Christ indwells the believer. You call on Jesus Christ, he moves in. He moves in you and lives in you. That's how you're sealed. He's in you, you're in him, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. A good steward of the mysteries of Christ says Christ and the church, it's his bride. He loves the church like he tells a husband to love his wife. And he's coming back for the church, the rapture. A good steward of the mysteries of God will tell you those things. A good steward of the mysteries of God will tell you that there's going to be a future restoration of Israel. A good steward of the mystery of God will tell you the man of sin, mystery of iniquity, Antichrist, is going to have something to do with that restoration of Israel because he's going to come back and rule and reign as their Messiah. And halfway, he's going to make a covenant with them, a peace covenant. It's going to look real good to him. And 3.5 years into that thing, like I said, he's going to be killed and he'll come back to life when the son of perdition, the spirit moves into him. He comes back as the son of perdition. He rules and reigns. He puts himself on that throne. And he says that he is God. And then 3.5 years, the Jews are going to have it like they've never had. It's going to be worse. This world's going to have it like a never seen tribulation. That's why it's called the Great Tribulation. And then God's going to come back and fix it. The restoration of Israel's already started. It started in 1940. It started in World War I when they cleared the land out so they could have it back. And in World War II, they got it back after that. 1948, they got it back. And they were declared a nation. The Bible says in there, shall a nation be born in a day? Israel was born and reborn in a day there. You know what they did? The UN voted on it and made it a nation in a day. So the preachers aren't good stewards of these mysteries. So now we've got churches that believe everything but the truth. I mean, you'd have a hard time finding 6 Jehovah's Witnesses in 2 states if preachers would preach all this. But you know what you don't? You don't tell the truth, you leave a vacuum, and the devil comes in and starts filling them with lies. Oh, we got another problem. You know, we got another problem is the devil's made all these perverted versions of the Bible that say different things, and there's some serious issues with these quote-unquote new versions. Even the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, they say that there's only one God, and that's Jehovah. Of course, they put that Jehovah thing on it when they say it, you know, makes it more powerful. But they say there's one God and that's Jehovah, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ aren't gods. They're not God. But where's that? In their own book, it says, matter of fact, I wrote it down. In Acts 5, let me look it up, look real quick and find out. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. Acts chapter 5, 3 and 5, 4, or chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, it says there's one spirit and that Jehovah is that spirit. So there it says, it's talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being Jehovah in their own translation. And that's not the only place in their own translation it says that, stuff like that. But I'm telling you, if you don't study your Bible, you get all messed up. Even if you got a fake Bible, God don't let him take enough truth out of it to keep you online if you want to look for it. It's still in there somewhere. But these seven mysteries revealed through Paul are, we're supposed to be good stewards of that. What's a good steward do? Well, a good steward, somebody gives you something and entrusts you with it, and you should still have it when they come back. What did he give the church? He entrusted the church with these mysteries. You know what the church should have when Christ comes back? Still have a belief in these mysteries. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find one church that believes all seven of these. Seriously. Well, you know, even a lot of the Baptist churches will tell you, well, the bride, that's just the Baptist church. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the church being the body, and the body being anybody that trusts Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. So then you got a messed up religion. Oh, there's no rapture, or we're not really going to rapture out of here like it says in Thessalonians and Corinthians. We're going to meet him in the air for judgment. What? I can't unread enough Bible to believe that. I mean, it says we're going to meet him in the air. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we'll meet him in the air. And then after that, it talks about going into the tribulation time for this world. And it talks about him coming back, whipping the beast and the false prophet, casting him in a lake of fire, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years on the throne of David, and then whooping the devil and throwing him into the lake of fire with the beast and false prophet. The battle of Armageddon after tribulation, the battle of Gog and Magog after the thousand-year reign, and then new heaven and new earth because the first heaven and first earth have passed away. So how do we keep straight on these things? Read your Bible. I mean, go home and check it out. Read that. Read these verses I give you and say, wow, seven mysteries. Read this. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. I'm not the only one that's supposed to be a good steward of this thing. I'm supposed to give it to you, and you're supposed to keep it. If I'm telling you these seven mysteries God says are important and we're supposed to keep until he comes back, you ought to keep until he comes back. Amen? Do you realize that this one verse, I believe, 1 Corinthians 4, well, these two verses, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, is the major reason we are in the late age of Laodicea right now. I really, really believe that. Because preachers, they tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. You know? It'd be real easy for me to come in here and say, well, God loves you and he wants you to be rich, and if you're not rich, it's because you didn't give me enough money. And God said that matter of fact, I saw God in a dream last night. He was 500 foot tall, 500 foot Jesus, and he told me if I don't have $7 million in 3 days, he's calling me home, so y'all got to send your money in. Some of you laughing because you know Roy Roberts did that. You know, get me another airplane, and you know, does God really want you to have two or three airplanes? Well, absolutely. He wants me to have a new one and keep the old ones and all that stuff and just lie to you. Get up here and speak in tongues, knock people out, and watch them flop around the floor and tell you they're healed, and they walk out and go to the hospital and die in the emergency room after you just healed them. And if I had the power to heal, I'd go right to the emergency room now. I'd go to the cancer ward and start healing kids.
Amen.
Well, my job is to give you these mysteries and to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back. Hey, look, no God in the flesh, no church age salvation. No indwelling spirit, no sealing. No being sealed with the Spirit, no eternal security. No Christ and the church understanding, then you don't know how to live. Husbands and wives don't know how to live. A church don't even know how to live. No rapture. People don't believe there's a rapture. We're looking for it. You know what? It gives us hope, and it also keeps us on our toes. Man, he could call me out of here, and I'm doing something wrong. Amen? The restoration of Israel, that's part of rightly dividing your Bible. You got to understand that God pretty much quit dealing with Israel. He quit dealing with as a nation, turned to the church age, and now he's going to turn from the church age because the church has turned from him because they don't keep the mysteries. And he's going back to Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble, the trouble for Daniel's people, he talks about in Daniel chapter 9. And then mystery Babylon, the mystery religion. If you don't understand that mystery Babylon religion, you know what you'll end up with? A Babylonian religious system. You know, I'm not joking what I told you about Christmas trees. They are pagan. That's where they come from, and they're going to go back to hell one day. I'm not telling you you can't have one. I'm just telling you be careful what you do and understand you can get so far off in this stuff that you ain't doing nothing that has anything to do, with Jesus Christ. And angels don't have wings. And they're not women. All the angels in the Bible are men, and they all look like men because they didn't even know you're entertaining an angel unaware. How could you entertain an angel unaware? Somebody shows up at my house and they want a drink of water and they got wings, I'm going to go, that's an angel. But if they show up without wings, I'd be unaware of it. That's what the Bible says, you're unaware. And all the angels in the Bible are males. I mean, we've been drawn into this system. We don't even realize what we've got going on in our own houses. And I'm not telling you you're going to hell for having a Christmas tree. I'm just saying you got to realize what's real, what's really Christ-honoring and what's not, so you don't get so far out there that you're doing all this pagan stuff and not doing anything for the Lord. You know? He regardeth the day and the Lord, let him regard it. If you want to wish you Merry Christmas, praise the Lord. If you want to regard December 25th to Jesus Christ and you mean it from the heart, regard it to him. But that wasn't his birthday. That's Nimrod's birthday. That's a Babylonian pagan holiday. But if you want to do it for the Lord and praise Jesus Christ on that day and thank God for his birth, praise the Lord. I'm not sure when he was born. All I know is sometime the end of September, the 1st of October. We'll get into that another time. First of all, the shepherds had to keep their sheep at night. They don't do that in the winter. And second of all, you look at the Passover feast and all that stuff, where it was, it landed, his birth would have landed between the middle of September and the first week or so of October, probably the end of September. But he that regardeth the day and the Lord, let him regard. You want to regard the day of the Lord. Every day. If you want to celebrate Jesus' birthday, celebrate it every day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know what they really ought to celebrate? If you want to have a real Christian holiday, I mean, Thanksgiving's about as good as it gets. But if you want to have a real Christian holiday, you ought to have a resurrection day. You ought to skip the Easter bunny and the eggs and just have a resurrection day. Praise the Lord, he rose again, because if he didn't rise again, you don't get to heaven. The gospel, we just talked about that a little bit ago. Got your Bible, got some Bible verses in there. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, some of the most important verses in the Bible. How Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's paraphrased. I don't remember the exact word. He died and buried and rose again, according to the Scriptures. You believe you're a sinner, and you believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and you call on him and ask him to forgive you and save you, you're going to heaven. And you're going to heaven forever.
Amen.
You're saved forever. I'd still go to a church that believed these seven things, though. You might not lose your salvation, but you're going to get all messed up. So the seven mysteries revealed to Paul, those are important things. And we'll look at these mysteries. Like I say, we've dealt with that mystery of Babylon quite a bit. We won't deal with that a whole lot much more. Might mix it in with one of the others. We'll start, Lord willing, on godliness next week. We'll look at some verses on that. And this will be a real good blessing to me. I know that, looking at these verses, because we've got an amazing book. And we have an amazing God. And God, capital G, came in the flesh to save you from your sins and save me from mine. Praise the Lord.